Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma to take care of my diabetes and my blood pressure, etc., etc., and those big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. Total waste of time. So I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR, and the results are rather spectacular. My blood pressure is way down in the normal range. My blood sugar is way down in the normal range. My energy level is up, and basically I really feel good. If you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Okay, that stuff really works, and I'm very pleased. And I don't easily endorse things. Give Patrick a call and tell him what's going on, and he can help you out. See you later. May Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Hiya, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show is word for word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this is my 409th word for word show. That's not counting the reruns on Tuesdays and Thursdays. This is the 409th new show. We're going to be starting in the book of Mark today. We have finished up with Matthew, and we'll be starting in the first chapter of Mark. I would ask that you get some writing material and be ready to take notes, because I'm going to be giving all sorts of references, and you're not going to want to miss those. If you do, then you'll have to go to my website and listen to the show again. That's all I can tell you. Need to be prepared. So let's launch in to the book of Mark. The first couple of Gospels in the New Testament are all historical things of what occurred when Yeshua walked among the disciples, different versions of it from different people. And this is no exception. It'll have a lot of the stuff that was in Matthew, a lot of the references and stuff, but a different take on it, a little different view, and there's little stuff that's different between these Gospels. One will have one thing in it that the other ones don't have in it. So it's good to study all of this stuff. The book of Mark is not as long as Matthew, and it covers a little different subject matter here and there. But it's a good read, and I'm going to be reading today out of my new large print scriptures. I finally got a large print one in. The standard print is just too small for me. I'm sorry. I'm old. My eyes are not good. That's how it is. It's time to go with a large print version. So I did. And I want to thank my brother that sent it to me. Professor Truth sent me this one. I am very grateful. And I already have it all marked up and highlighted and notes written in it. And that's what you do with your Bibles if you're going to study them. So let's launch into Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the good news, that is gospel, okay, the gospel, that's what gospel means, is the good news, of Yeshua Messiah, the son of Elohim. Let's stop right there. He doesn't mince words. He calls him the son of God right there, first verse. No mincing words about it. Verse 2, and you can reference Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. That's Malachi 3, verse 1. As it has been written in the prophets, see, I send my messenger before your face, who shall prepare your way before you. Okay, now who's he speaking of there? He's speaking of John the Baptist, Yohanan, okay? Verse 3, and you can reference Yeshayahu, that's Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 3. Chapter 40, verse 3. A voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of Yahweh, make his paths straight. Verse 4 of chapter 1. Yohanan, that's John, okay, came immersing in the wilderness and proclaiming an immersion of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. You would repent, he would immerse you, and it would wash your sins, okay? Verse 5, and all the country of Yehuda and those of Jerusalem went out to him and were all immersed by him in the Jordan River, that's the Jordan, confessing their sins and repenting before Yahweh, okay? That's what they were doing. Verse 6. And Yohanan was clothed with camel's hair and a leather girdle around his waist, and eating locusts and wild honey. And you can reference 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 8. That's 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 8, verse 7. And he proclaimed, saying, after me comes one who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loosen. Verse 8. I indeed did immerse you in water. Okay. I indeed did immerse you in water, but he shall immerse you in the set apart spirit. Wow. Verse 9. And it came to be in those days that Yeshua came from Nazareth of Galilee and was immersed by Yohanan in the Jordan. Verse 10. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit coming down on him like a dove. Verse 11, and a voice came out of the heavens, you are my Son, the Beloved, in whom I did delight. And for verse 11, you can reference Genesis 22, verse 2. That's Genesis 22, verse 2. Psalm 2, verse 7. Psalm 2, verse 7. Isaiah 42, verse 1. That's Isaiah 42, verse 1. Matthew, book chapter 3, verse 17, and chapter 12, verse 18. That's Matthew 3, 17, and 12, 18. The book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 7. Chapter 9, verse 7. And the book of Luke, chapter 3, verse 22. That's Luke 3, 22. Verse 12. And immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Now, he was pretty much an adult. He was coming and being baptized, etc., etc., in obedience, and the Spirit came on him after the baptism. This was an observance, okay? We are to repent and be baptized. Well, he set the precedent for us. Verse 13. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tried by Satan. I mean, that's tempted, okay, by the adversary. That's HaShatan. And was with the wild beasts. There was nothing out, there were no people out there. And the messengers attended him. That's what you would call angels. Okay? Those are messengers of Yahweh. Malachim. But they always put angels. Well, that's not proper. Okay? It's messengers. Divine messengers. Verse 14. And after Yohanan was delivered up, that's John the Baptist, was delivered up, that they were going to behead him, okay? Yeshua came to Galil, that would be Galilee, proclaiming the good news, that is the gospel, of the reign of Elohim. And here is verse 15, and you can reference Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. Chapter 3, 2. And saying, the time has been filled, and the reign of Elohim has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Because that's what gospel means, good news. Verse 16. And walking by the Sea of Galilee, that's Galilee, he saw Simeon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. In other words, he's going to start assembling his taught ones. That's what he's starting right here. Same as, you know, it told that in Matthew. These repeat. They're different accountings of different people of the same events. Verse 17, and Yeshua said to them, come, follow me, and I shall make you become fishers of men. In other words, they would fish for the remnant. Okay, verse 18. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. They dropped everything and just followed him. I mean, you know, their whole life was over as they knew it. They would begin the rest of their life with Yeshua and teaching after Yeshua, and eventually would be killed. All the disciples were beheaded. All of them. All of them. Verse 19. And having gone on a little from there, he saw Jacob, the son of Zabdi, and Yochanan, his brother, that's another John, okay, and they were in the boat mending their nets. More fishermen. Verse 20. And immediately he called them, and leaving their father Zabdi in the boat with the hired servants, they went after him. Boom. That's four. Verse 21, and they went into Kephar Nahum, and immediately on the Shabbat, he went into the congregation and taught. Verse 22. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as possessing authority and not as the scribes. Reference Matthew 7:28-29. Matthew 7:28-29. In other words, he had the authority as the author of what he was teaching, because he was Yahweh in the flesh. He was not a scribe that was reading from a scroll. They were getting it right from the source. Wow. Verse 23. And there was a man in their congregation with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, verse 24, saying, ha! What have we to do with you, Yeshua of Nazareth? That's plural. What have we to do? Okay. Did you come to destroy us? Plural again. I know who you are, the set apart one of Elohim. Recognized him right off. He knew who he was talking to. The Master. Verse 25, and Yeshua rebuked him, saying, be silenced, and come out of him. Verse 26, and throwing him into convulsions, the unclean spirit called out with a loud voice, and came out of him. All right, stop. He was in the congregation. But what they were teaching in the congregation evidently wasn't enough to get rid of this unclean spirit. They had a demon-possessed man in their congregation. But when Yeshua got there, he had to leave. Cast him out. Verse 27, and they were all so amazed as to reason among themselves, saying, what is this? A fresh teaching? Something, in other words, new. Something new. With authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Yep, they were amazed. Oh, yes, they were. Wouldn't you be? I mean, the son comes and starts teaching right there. Wow. That's too much to contemplate sometimes in these days when such wickedness abounds. Verse 28. And news about him immediately spread into all the country around Galilee. Verse 29. And coming out of the congregation, they went straight to the house of Shimon and Andrew with Jacob and Yochanan. Verse 30. And the mother-in-law of Shimon lay sick with an inflammation. And immediately they spoke to him about her. Verse 31. And having come, he took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the inflammation left her, and she served them. She was well enough to set a meal before them and do all of that. He cleared it up just by touching her hand. So that's a casting out of a demon and a healing. Bada bing, bada boom, right away. Whew. Verse 32. And when evening came, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon possessed. Verse 33. And the entire city had gathered at the door. The whole city, everybody, they all showed up. They wanted some of that, I'll tell you. The whole city came to see him. Verse 34. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons and was not allowing the demons to speak because they knew him. Of course, they knew him from back up in heaven before they fell. He was with part of the Father back then. So they knew who he was. These were demons. They were fallen angels, ones that were disobedient. And they were scared, I imagine. They'd been cast down here out of their first estate, and they were inhabiting these weak people. That's what they do. Verse 35. And having risen very early in the morning, while still dark, he went out and went away to a lonely place, and there he prayed. Verse 36. And Shimon and those who were with him searched for him. Verse 37, and when they found him, they said to him, all are seeking you. Verse 38, and he said to them, let us go into the neighboring town so that I proclaim there also, because for this I have come forth. Verse 39, and he was proclaiming in their congregations in all Galilee and casting out demons. And for verse 39, you can reference Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, and chapter 9, verse 35. That's Matthew 4, 23, and 9, 35. Here we go. Verse 40. And a leper came to him. Okay, these were incurable back then. They didn't have any drugs. They didn't have anything. If you had leprosy, it was a death sentence. Just, you know, it was over. Okay? And a leper came to him, calling upon him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, didn't say touch him, just said, if you desire, key word desire, if it's your will, you are able to make me clean, just through his will. Okay. Verse 41, and Yeshua, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, even though he hadn't asked for that. He just said, by your will. And said to him, I desire it, be cleansed. Verse 42, and immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Verse 43, and having strictly warned him, he immediately sent him away. He was trying to stay incognito. And said, go to the priest and stuff and offer for your cleansing to give glory to Yahweh. Verse 44, you can reference Leviticus 14, 1 through 32. That's about leprosy. Okay, Leviticus 14, 1 through 32, about the offering. And he said to him, see, say none at all to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moshe ordered as a witness to them. Well, the guy didn't obey. Okay, he was so overwhelmed and so grateful. But it interfered with what Yeshua was doing. Verse 45. But he went out and began to publish it so much and to spread the word that Yeshua was no longer able to openly enter the city, but was outside in lonely places. Yet they came to him from all directions. So he couldn't keep doing what he was doing. This guy disobeyed in his enthusiasm, thinking he was doing all right. But he interfered with the ministry. So he had to go to secret places. And that ends chapter 1 of the book of Mark. Now we'll get into chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. And some days later, he again entered into Kephar Nachum, and it was heard that he was in the house. Verse 2. And so many gathered together that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he spoke the word to them. Wow. Hearing it from the source. Can you imagine being there and hearing him speak? Oh, what? This is so magnificent. I can't get over it. It's marvelous. Verse 3. And they came to him bringing a paralytic carried in by four. Verse 4. And not being able to come near him because of the crowd, then covered the roof where he was. In other words, they pulled the thatching off the roof. And when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. That you couldn't move. They were just crowds. So they pulled the roof off the house and let him down through the ceiling. Verse 5. And when Yeshua saw their belief, because they truly believe, all he has to do is say the word, this guy's going to be healed. He said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Sins are forgiven. Okay, he didn't heal him right off. The scribes, verse 6, now some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, okay? They were of the evil ones, like the Pharisees. They reasoned this. Why does this one talk like this? He is blaspheming who is able to forgive sins. But Elohim alone. In other words, who can forgive sins except God? Well, he's standing right there. Why does this one talk like this? He is blaspheming. Who is able to forgive sins but Elohim alone? Well, Elohim was standing there in the flesh. Well, he's really going to put it to him here. Verse 8 of chapter 2. And immediately Yeshua, knowing in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, "Why do you reason about all this in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? Verse 10. But in order for you to know that the Son of Adam," identifying himself as an Adamite, pure blood, "possesses authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, verse 11, "I say to you, rise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Verse 12, "And he rose straightway and took up the bed and went out before all, so that all were amazed and praised Elohim, saying, 'We have never seen the like of it.'" Well, God had not walked among you in the flesh before. I guess not. But that's what you were witnessing. A little peppermint tea there. Verse 13. "And he went out again by the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he taught them," teaching them the word right from the source. Verse 14. "And passing by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphi, sitting at the tax office, and said to him, 'Follow me.' And having risen, he followed him." That's another disciple. Verse 15. And it came to be, as he sat at the table at his house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat with Yeshua and his taught ones, for there were many, not just the disciples, the people that were listening to him and being taught. And they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his taught ones, "Why does he eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" They couldn't figure that out, because the word was not in them. They couldn't get it. Didn't get it. And hearing this, Yeshua said to them, this is verse 17, and hearing this, Yeshua said to them, "Those who are strong have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners." They could not see this. They were so blind. They couldn't hear the word. It was not in their heart. They couldn't get it. They were incapable of getting it. And he made it quite clear, being the kinsman redeemer of Israel, "I did not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners." In other words, those who were spiritually sick. And the taught ones of Yochanan, that's John the Baptist, and of the Pharisees were fasting. And they came and said to him, "Why do the taught ones of Yochanan and of the Pharisees fast, but your taught ones do not fast?" Verse 19. And Yeshua said to them, "Are the friends of the bridegroom able to fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they are not able to fast, because they're in joy all the, I mean, they're just, oh, it's just wonderful. Verse 20. But the days shall come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then they shall fast in those days." Well, that's when he was going to be murdered by the Talmud worshippers. Verse 21. And no one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the renewed piece pulls away from the old and the tear is made worse. Now, it would shrink and pull the other garment apart. Verse 22. And no one puts new wines into old wineskins, otherwise a new wine bursts the wineskins and the wine runs out and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine is to be put into fresh wineskins. The wineskins that were capable of expansion, because the other ones were already stretched out, and they put more new wine in there, they would burst. Verse 23. And you reference Deuteronomy 23, verse 25. Deuteronomy 23, verse 25 for verse 23. And it came to be that he went through the grain fields on the Shabbat, And as they went, his taught ones began to pluck heads of grain. Okay, they weren't harvesting. They were just getting something to eat. They weren't doing work. Verse 24, and the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why do they do what is not right on the Shabbat?" Okay, why do they do that? They're not supposed to pluck grain. Well, they didn't figure that. They couldn't see because they're blind Pharisees. He called them that later on. Verse 25 and 26. You can read the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. That's verses 25 and 26. Verse 26 alone, you can reference Leviticus, chapter 24, verse 9. Leviticus 24:9. Okay, verse 25. And he said to them, "Have you never read what Dawid did?" That would be David in your King James, but it's not a V, it's a W, a wall. What Dawid did when he had need and was hungry, he and those with him. Verse 26. How he went into the house of Elohim while Abiathar was high priest and ate the showbread, which is not right to eat except for the priest, and he gave it also to those who were with him. All right. Verse 27. And he said to them, "The Shabbat was made for man as a day of rest," okay? And not man for the Shabbat. Verse 28. So the Son of Adam is also master of the Shabbat. And you can reference Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3. And that ends chapter 2. I have 20 minutes. I can get through chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. And he went into the congregation again, and a man who had a withered hand was there. Verse 2. And they, speaking of the scribes and Pharisees, were watching him, whether he would heal him on the Shabbat, so as to accuse him. Verse 3. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Get up to the middle." In other words, go in the middle in front of everybody. Verse 4. And he said to them, "Is it right to do good on the Shabbat or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. Verse 5. And having looked around on them with displeasure, being grieved at the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as healthy as the other. Verse 6. And the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how to destroy him. Now the Herodians were of Herod, who was an Edomite. The Pharisees were full of Edomites. These were the enemies even back then, and they were plotting how to kill him. Verse 7. But Yeshua withdrew and his taught ones to the sea. And a great crowd from Galilee followed him and from Yehuda. Verse 8. Even from Jerusalem and from Edom and beyond the Jordan and those around Zoar and Zidon, a large crowd came to him when they heard how much he was doing. Because they had Israelites living around Edom, but they also had Edomites, one of which was just going to be his betrayer later. Verse 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10, you can reference Mark chapter 4, verse 1, and Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. That's Mark 4, 1, and Luke 5, 1 through 3. Verse 9, and he spoke to his taught ones that a small boat should be kept ready for him because of the crowd, lest they should press upon him. He had to have a little room to move and talk. Verse 10, for he healed many, so that as many as had afflictions fell upon him to touch him. Verse 11. And the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, that's the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, you are the son of Elohim. They knew who he was, and they were terrified. Verse 12. But he warned them many times that they should not make him known. Verse 13. And he went up on the mountain and called to him whom he wished, and they came to him. In other words, he picked and chose. Verse 14. He had assembled a whole bunch of people, and he appointed 12 to be with him, and to be sent out to proclaim, verse 15, and to possess authority to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Now, just the 12, that's not everybody, okay? That's the 12. And these churches today are trying to expand that to everybody. Verse 16. And here's a list. And he appointed the 12 for the 12 tribes of Israel. And one was the devil. Shimeon, to whom he added the name Kepha. That would be Simon Peter. And Peter is Petros, which means the rock. Okay? Rock. That's Simon Peter. And Jacob, the son of Zabdi. Okay? And Yochanan, the brother of Jacob, to whom he added the name Beni Reges, that is, sons of thunder. Okay. Verse 18. And Andre and Philip and Bartholomew and Matityahu, that's Matthew, and Tooma, and Yaakov, son of Alphi. Different Yaakov. And Tadai and Shimeon the Canaanite. He was living in the land of Canaan. He was a Canaanite nationally, but not racially. And here we are. And Yehuda from Kerioth. Now that's Yehuda Ish Kerioth, man from Kerioth, okay? Who did also deliver him up, that's the devil, okay, that it was with him. And they went into a house. Verse 20. And again the crowd came together, so they were unable even to eat bread. Verse 21. And when his relatives heard about this, they went out to seize him. For they said, he is out of his mind. His own family didn't even believe. Verse 22. And you can reference Matthew 9, verse 34, and 10, 25. That's Matthew 9, 34, and 10, 25. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebul, and he casts out demons by the ruler of the demons. Well, they were demons. Edomite scum. Verse 23. And calling them near, he said to them in parables, how is Satan able to cast out Satan? Silence. Verse 24. And if a rain is divided against itself, that rain is unable to stand. Verse 25. And if a house is divided against itself, that house is unable to stand. Verse 26, and if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he is unable to stand but has an end. Verse 27, no one is able to enter a strong man's house and plunder his good unless he first binds a strong man, and then he shall plunder his house. Verse 28. Truly, I say to you, all the sins shall be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they speak. Verse 29, and you can reference Luke chapter 12, verse 10. Luke 12, 10. But he who blasphemes against a set-apart spirit has no forgiveness forever, but is subject to everlasting judgment. Well, he was full of the set-apart spirit, and they were claiming he had an unclean spirit, ascribing uncleanness to the Holy Spirit. So they doomed themselves. There's no forgiveness for them. There was no forgiveness for them then, nor their race, nor is there forgiveness for them that are descended from them today. There's no forgiveness. They don't get forgiveness. They can't be redeemed. Sorry. Verse 31, and his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. They thought they were going to get special treatment. He's in the middle of his ministry. Okay. Verse 32. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, see, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. Verse 33. But he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brothers? Verse 34, and looking about on those sitting round him, he said, see my mother and my brothers. Verse 35, for whoever does a desire of Elohim is my brother and my sister and mother. They have become family. And verse 35, you can reference Matthew 12:50 and Luke 8:21. That's Matthew 12:50 and Luke 8:21. And that ends chapter 3, and that ends the reading for today. I got 1, 2, and 3 in without crowding. So that's good. I'll catch you again on the next show, and we'll start in chapter 4. May Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.